My name is Leslie Bracero, and I am so excited to share with you a little bit about my testimony of hearing the Lord and waiting on Him, which was instrumental in what I experienced while we were in South Africa. Last year, Aubrey announced that she was going to South Africa, and she put it out there to see if anyone wanted to join her team. Immediately, Angel and I looked at each other. We gave each other that look, and I know that look in his eye. So he said, let's do it. So we went down and we talked to her, and we told her that we wanted to go. But as the time drew closer, I became afraid and even questioned if we were making the right decision. Now, I never said that to him because I know Angel, he's going to be like, okay, forget it, we won't go. But I know in his heart he wanted to go, so I didn't say that to him. So in my quiet time, I asked the Lord and I said, Lord, please share with me if this is something we're supposed to do or if this is just something we want to do. And I believe I heard the Lord say, daughter, in the days ahead, you will know as you follow on to know. I will show you clearly what direction you are to take. Just trust me, daughter, and know that the plans I have for you are good plans, and my will is a good, plain path. So stay on the course ahead and be at peace and be at rest. So with that being said, I kept reminding myself of that word, and it gave me great confidence as I continued. You know, the Bible declares in Psalms 139, verse 16, that thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So even before we were born, our days are written in his book. And I started to pray when I heard that scripture, Lord, whatever you have put in your book for me, let me walk in that. And I believe the Lord reminded me of that. Pray, Leslie, whatever's in your book, whatever's in my book for you, you're going to walk in that. I've been a believer for a number of years, but it doesn't matter how long we have walked with him. His mercies are new every morning. And I fall in love with him every day because I see a different glimpse of him every day. And he speaks to us all the time and he leads us in ways that he wants us to go. So, you know, maybe for the last 6 or 7 months, the Lord had been waking me up at 3 o'clock, 3 to 5 o'clock in the morning, almost consistently. And he was talking to me a lot about listening to him. And I know there's something significant about that window of time, 3 to 5. Remember the scripture when it talks about Jesus was walking on the water to the disciples while they were in the boat? Well, that was between 3 and 5. I heard that. I read about that. I was like, oh, okay, so God, Jesus is walking on the water. So he's walking on the water to talk to me. Well, anyway, so while we were in South Africa, he used those moments when I was home and leading up to us leaving and spending time in his word and meditating on scriptures about listening to him and waiting on him. He made it so practically plain to me that while we were in South Africa, one of them was listening to his voice and how not to allow other voices to distract from what he is telling us to do. You know, the Bible declares in Isaiah 30 and 21, thine eye shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. So at one of our outreaches, I was dressed up as the mascot. I don't know if we have the picture of me as the lion of the tribe of Judah, which happens to be one of my favorite animals, Kathy knows. The lion of the tribe of Judah is the costume that I had to wear. Do we have that, John, to show that picture? I want everybody to see. This is me being led by the kids. So when we were walking in that costume, you can't really see what's in front of you, and you can't really see what's happening around you, and you're barely able to see anything. So we have guides that help us walk along. And, you know, naturally the kids got all excited, so they wanted to hold my hand. So I had one on my left hand, one on my right hand. And while we were walking, the kids were making all kinds of noise. They were screaming, laughing, you know, all the kind of drama, pulling my tail, hitting me, whatever. But the Lord was telling me, as I was walking, I started to pray in the Spirit. And he was telling me and reminding me about that scripture, Isaiah 30 and 21. About listening to his voice. He was using that as an example. He said, as you walk, listen to my voice, as you go to the right hand and as you go to the left. You see, during that noise of all the children screaming and laughing and even pulling my tail, I could hear the guides telling me, go this way, go this way, go this way. And I had to follow them because I really couldn't see what was in front of me. And it was the Lord using them as an example, reminding me that as we go through uncertain times, as we go through rocky hills, crooked paths, he's going to have his voice behind us telling us, this is the way, walk in it. And so he was also reminding me that sometimes his voice can be loud, sometimes it can be soft, sometimes it can be very direct. But it's important to lean in and hear him regardless of what's happening around us. So as the children were holding my hand, it forced me, and you know, I was walking like this, and I looked at one of the pictures, I'm like, why am I looking like this? But anyway, it forced me to lean in to hear what they had to say. And it was like the Lord was reminding me, during whatever things we are going through, it forces us, it should force us to lean in to hear what he has to say. So in the days ahead, he was telling me this, that we're not going to know everything, but it's important to lean onto him and to know where to go and to move out in his timing. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what are you saying about hearing your voice? And this is what I believe he told me. He said, Leslie, my daughter, I'm fine-tuning the ears of my people in the days ahead so you can respond differently to my voice. I want your ears so keenly aware as to when I'm speaking to you so you can accurately say what I'm telling you to say. Many people are desperately seeking to know the truth, and that truth is only found in him. So he told me to rest in him, to lay my head upon his breast, and he said, let me speak to you, and without a doubt, you will know that I'm speaking to you. My voice is vastly different from the voices out there, and you need to spend time with me to know me and my voice. So spending time with the Lord was related to me as waiting in his presence. Psalms 27, 13 and 14 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But it's the Passion Translation that puts it so beautifully to me. It says, here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Wait means to bind together by twisting, to join, and to look for patiently. Holy Spirit told me that waiting is an act of being. Being in his presence, being with him. He told me to train my spirit to be at rest in him. In other words, it's like taking communion. You know, taking communion is what we do, you know, here at the church. But taking communion is also a form of communing with him, coming in union with him. This is one of the practices that I've been doing for maybe about 5 years, is taking communion almost daily to remind myself that I'm one with him. So just like we take communion as a church, as a body, individually, collectively, let's remind ourselves of our union with him and how we are entwined with him. We are one with him. And he was showing me through this whole situation to stop agreeing with fear. Stop agreeing with fear's forecast. And I want to encourage most of you, you may not be like me. Don't agree with fear, because it will hold us in one place. And I heard someone say that we must come up higher, not just for the Lord to show us what's next, but to show us what's true. Man, I said that's good. To come up higher so God can show us what is true. Because when our vision aligns, our steps will follow. Psalm 62 and 5 says, my soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Psalms 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doeth wait, and in his word do I hope. His word is our anchor. And I just hear right now that some people are, and this could be online, I'm not going to be that one, but I feel like God is saying that some of you are struggling with your circumstances, and that you're looking at what's in front of you and letting that be your guide. But I hear the Lord say, let his word be your guide. Whatever you are believing God for, there's a promise in the word for it. And we stand on that promise, and we see the manifestation of that word coming to pass. Whether it be finances, whether it be health, whether it be a job situation, God has the answer for it all. So he told me this in my quiet time. He said, Leslie, my daughter, my heart's desire is for you to know me more intuitively, as if your ears were so in tune to my voice that you respond accurately. There's coming a day, my child, and already is, when my people will be so sensitive to my ways that they respond as one man. He said, tell them, my daughter, to spend more time with me. Tell them, my daughter, that there is joy in my presence. Whew. Tell them that there is joy in knowing me and fellowshipping with me, that my ways are safe and pure. He said, daughter, you can trust me. He said, come as a child with new levels of expectancy, just like children come to their parents with pure hearts of purity and joy when they approach them. I saw that firsthand when these kids were running up to us. They didn't know us from Tom's house cat, but they came expecting, whether they came expecting a hug, some love, they just came expecting. And that was so humbling to me, because I know the Lord wants us to be the same. You know, the Bible says, suffer the children unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. When we were praying in that shelter, and you saw those little kids off to the side, they had their hands up. And the Lord said, this is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. Just like a little child. So the best biblical example I want to share with you before I leave is the story of Abraham and Sarah. This time of waiting reminded me of Abraham and how the Lord gave him a promise of a son. Many of you know that story, and eventually God gave him and Sarah a son, even way past Sarah's childbearing years. He was 100, and she was 90. But the Bible talks about that she was a pretty lady, that even the Egyptians wanted her. So she was still fine. So our older sisters out there, you still got it going on. So in Genesis 22, 1 through 24, the Lord put Abraham to the test. And this was such a powerful example to me of waiting and hearing his voice. So you see, Abraham was so familiar with the voice of the Lord that he responded quickly when he called his name. He said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I, Lord. So when he called him, he told him exactly what he was going to do. He said, take your son, the son whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice. Can you imagine The very thing he stood for years, he and Sarah stood for years, God said, you have to offer him now as a sacrifice. But Abraham did not delay. He woke up early and he took his son, who was older than a child. He wasn't two or three following his dad like a little baby. No, he was almost grown. The Bible doesn't say exactly how old he was, but if he was carrying the wood, he obviously had to have been old enough to carry the wood. So they went on a three-day journey to find the place that God wanted him to go. So if you would join me in letting your godly imagination go for just a moment and envision Abraham with this on his heart and mind, knowing that the son that God promised him, he was going to have to offer him up before the Lord, all the while walking those 3 days. 3 days. He didn't know exactly where he was going to go, but those 3 days he was walking, knowing that this was the son of his promise that he was going to have to offer up. So on the third day, he found that place. And he told those guys that were with him, me and the son, me and the lad are going to go, but we'll be back. Right there was a faith declaration. So obviously, he knew the Lord enough to know that if God said, take this son that I promised you, he knew that he was going to come back with him. So as he was going, his son said, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? You know, I know we're going to go sacrifice. Where's the lamb? So sometimes during our hardest time, we ask that question. Where's the lamb? Where's Jesus? And because I know I've asked that too. I know I'm not the only one. During difficult times, Jesus, where are you? Where were you when my baby got sick? Where were you when I lost my job? Where's the lamb? Excuse me. But Abraham said, the Lord is going to provide. And that should be our declaration of faith. Where's the lamb? Jesus, where are you? But I know you're going to provide because I know you and I know your word. So let's be reminded, no matter what we're going through, I know you will provide. I know you will see me through to the other side. And I'm briefly sharing this when my mother was dying. The Lord told me, well, while she was sick, before she was dying, before she was near death, the Lord said, daughter, there's some difficult days ahead of you, but I've gone before you, and I will meet you on the other side. And he did. He saw me give, he showed me, before she passed, she renewed her relationship with the Lord. Many years I prayed for my mama. Right before she passed, she gave her heart back to him. And she said, Leslie, I had a vision of the cross, and I know everything's going to be okay. Where's the lamb? I know God will provide. So the Lord, so as Abraham was going up that mountain and to take his son of his promise, with the intention to give it back to him, can you envision Isaac, big old grown boy, on the altar. Abraham with that knife in his hand. Isaac laying down. I know he's not looking smiling. I know his eyes are big, but he had to trust his father too. So that says a lot about a relationship with the father and the son. But he had that knife up in his hand, and he was getting ready to take it down on Isaac. Abraham! Abraham! He dropped it because he knew the voice of the Father. He knew his voice. And again, that only comes through spending time with him. Sometimes during our most difficult and uncertain times, we are called upon to make decisions, not knowing that God will lead us into a place and a time that we're getting ready to follow right down to the letter of the law of what he tells us to do. And what should our response be? God will provide. What an awesome God we serve, saints, right? What an awesome God we serve. Even in those difficult times, the Lord still provides. And I'm not going to embarrass my sister, but she is a living testimony. She was at death's door. She went to the hospital. She had to go through emergency. And all the while she was in there, she kept saying, in and out of consciousness, no weapon formed against me. No weapon formed against me. No weapon formed against me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. In and out of consciousness, she kept saying that. She had no money. She had no job. She had no insurance. She was in there for a long time, and we know how doctor bills can be. This lady came over to me, and she said, does your sister have any kind of insurance? I said, no, ma'am, she has nothing. We're going to take care of that. She left out of that hospital with a zero balance. Because where was the lamb? God does provide. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. The Lord is our shepherd. Going back to Africa, I know I'm supposed to talk about Africa, but all this was a conglomeration of Africa because the Lord was showing me some amazing things about how to listen to his voice, how to hear him in a new way. And he said, daughter, tell my people that it's okay. It's okay. I'm not the boogeyman. I'm not waiting with the hammer. Just come to me. I promise you, he will take care. So now going back to the fact that I knew we were supposed to go to Africa, but fear was trying to hold me in one place. Until I heard the Lord say, be at peace and be at rest. So not only did we go to serve and minister to the children, but the Lord ministered to me. He took that fear that was attempting to hold me in one place and broke it off of me and even healed my hand. I had been suffering with carpal tunnel for 2.5 years in constant pain. The Saturday before the first Sunday we were there, I woke up and I'm like, there's no pain in my hand. And I testified at church and the pastor said something like, look at your hand or whatever. And this beautiful African lady came over to me. She was like, the Lord brought you all the way here to Africa to heal your hand and to deliver you from fear. I said, yes, he did. So it's just something about following the Lord. It's just something about following the Lord. And the blessing of this was the young lady who interpreted for me, I wish I had a picture of her. She and I actually looked alike. Everybody, when they saw me, they were like, are you Lizzie? And I'm like, who's Lizzie? When I saw her, I'm like, oh my lands, you could be my daughter. We looked exactly alike. She was interpreting for me. She had pain in her left hand too. She came up to me after service and she said, Leslie, my pain in my hand too, blah, 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 blah. I said, let's touch and agree. Let's hold hands. Come on, let's believe God. And we believe God that he healed her. What kind of stuff is that? What's the likelihood? She's my twin and have pain in the same hand that I had in. So you see, when we wait on the Lord, he teaches us to hear his voice in new ways. And as we move out in faith, there are so many blessings that await us. Not only us, but all those who we come in contact with. The blessings we experience are not just for us. Even when Abraham came back down from that mountain, we know the story. The Lord told him that in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of thy enemies, and thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. It was told to Abraham that everyone that was associated with him had children. Everybody who was barren had a child. So not only was Abraham blessed, anyone in his company was blessed. That goes to show that blessings are contagious. So blessings are not just for us, but it's for all of those who we are in company with. This ministry right here, the Encounter Church, is a blessed place. It's a fruitful ground. So if you are a member here, please partner, join in the vision. God has put it out there in the foyer for us to see, for us to pray over, to speak life into. Because that vision is for an appointed time. It will not tarry. It will come. So as we partner along, as we give, as we sow, as we pray, remember the words that have been spoken over this place 75 years ago, right? This is a season of vision. But not what we see, but how we see. What we behold, we begin to build. What we build begins to lead. And we are being led by what? Are we being led by what we see, or are we being led by what he says? Let's hold on to his word and move out in this timing of his to see the miraculous happen all around us. Listen, I want to just open it up. If there's anyone here who has a need, a special desire that you are believing God for, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Because I know what I experienced is transferable. The blessings of the Lord make increase, and he adds no sorrow to it. So if there's a need, come on down to the altar. Don't be ashamed. If you don't even know the Lord and you want a relationship with Jesus, I know I'm looking at many of you are probably already believers, but maybe out there on TV land, if you don't know the Lord, this is the best time to give your heart to Jesus, because he's doing a great work in the days ahead. And we want to partner with him.